This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Faith takes hold of what Jesus has made available. Faith takes possession of what grace has made available. You should be saying to the devil, "Devil, don't let me find this in the Word." Once you find it in the Word, you're like, uh-oh, you're in trouble now, because now I'm taking hold of this with my faith.
Calling all world changers and those who have been changed by the message of grace. It's homecoming time. We've been on the road spreading the gospel, and now it's time to bring it home. That's right. Grace Life 2023 Homecoming is upon us and will be an experience like no other. We are inviting the entire World Changers Nation home July 13th through the 15th at the World Dome in College Park, Georgia. Welcome home, World Changers.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
We've been talking about maturity through suffering. And sometimes it's the things that we go through that help to shape us and to mold us so we can be prepared to do the assignment that God has for us down the line. How many of you ever been through some stuff? And if you didn't raise your hand, I'll cast that lying demon out of you in just a moment. But I tell you what, I've never gone through something where I didn't have an opportunity to see how it matured me down the road. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 in the NLT. That's our text for this, and I want you to listen to this. Don't be afraid of trouble. Don't be afraid of persecution. Verse 6 and 7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." Since there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you may have to endure many trials for a little while. And the key here is endurance. God will equip us to outlast our trouble if you don't give up, cave in, and quit. Now, quitting is easy. But if you quit, you're going to never know what could have happened. You will never know what would have happened down the road. And verse 7 says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." The trial of your faith is not to test to see if you have faith or not to test to see if your faith is sufficient, but the trial of your faith is to move all of the self-dependence out of your life. Too many of us, we depend on ourselves. And God wants you to depend on Him. Too much of you depending on you, you forget all about Him. But there's some things that will happen in your life that you won't have the answer for. And that's why I depend on God. He said, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." How genuine is your faith? We'll find out when you go through a trial. You know, church folks like to talk and say, you know, churchy stuff and real spiritual things. But when the trouble comes, when the persecution comes, then we're going to find out if your faith was real. Was it genuine faith? It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So don't be afraid of trouble. Don't be afraid of it. I know it sounds weird about the joy that's ahead of you. I know it sounds weird when the Apostle Paul says that, you know, when I'm weak, I'm strong. I know it sounds weird when the Bible tells you they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So if you plan on living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Nothing great is ever accomplished and done without going through something. And some of you can't even handle somebody talking about you on Twitter. Amen. But God's preparing a people. God's preparing a church. God's preparing callings and anointings to do things that you didn't even know you could do. Some of you are going to begin to walk in anointings you didn't even know you had. I said this last week and I'll begin. Somebody said, Arvis, don't you start it. No, I'm just winging you out. See where you are this morning. God is preparing and maturing us to function in the capacity and the anointing that we were created for. God is preparing and maturing us. See, God knows the thing that He has for you. God knows the plan that He has for you. But you have to mature into that plan. You have to mature into that anointing. You have to mature into that calling. And part of this maturity is you're going to mature enough where you're not walking in unforgiveness. You're going to mature enough where, you know, you're not holding things against people, that you're treating people right, that you're not acting wicked. You're going to mature enough that you're not going to hop into bed with somebody you ain't got no business being in the bed with. We didn't already put a name on your bed. You should be able to find it. Mature people know where they're supposed to lay their head. But a lot of things we see amongst Christian people, the real issue is immaturity. Immaturity in the body of Christ. Sitting back in self-righteousness and judging other people when you're just one step away from hell yourself if it were not for Jesus. But immaturity sits back and they judge people. Immaturity gossips about people. Immaturity wants to always, you know, slander people. Immaturity lies. Immaturity, they do all of those things. Immaturity and the flesh, they go hand in hand. And God's saying, I need you to mature. There are things I need you to understand, but I can't give it to you until you mature. There are things I want you to operate in. I can't give it to you until you mature. There's an assignment I have ready for you. I can't even call you to it until you mature. And that's what I've seen most of the time is it's not that people are bad people. They're just immature. Someone hurts you. It's only because they've been hurt. Someone treats you mean, that's how they treat themselves. And we got to grow up from that. We've got to mature from that. Well, I don't need Jesus no more. That's an immature child talking. God ain't even paying you no attention. You'll grow up one day and you'll realize that was foolish talking. It's time to put away childish things, amen? And so when we examine this area of maturity and why we're talking about this, spiritual maturity is achieved through becoming more like Jesus Christ. We got to find out what He's like. It's achieved when you become more like Jesus Christ. And after salvation, every Christian begins the process of spiritual growth with the intent to become spiritually mature. Now, I want you to look at something real quick before I start. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. I want to read this out of let's go with the NLT first. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and Paul understood how important it was to mature, but yet he knew it was a process. And I want you to understand that this is a process. I'm not asking you to become totally spiritually mature today. I am saying get on the path. Start the process. Some of you may ask, well, how long is the process going to take? Well, until Jesus comes. We should be finding some area of our lives that we need to mature in until Jesus comes. Now look at this, verse 12. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection or maturity. Perfection, not flawlessness, but perfection, maturity. He says, I'm not saying that I've already reached this place of maturity, but I press on to possess that perfection, that maturity for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Now, notice what he says. He says, absolutely not. I have not achieved this level of maturity that God wants from me. But he says, I am focused on this thing. I'm focused on this. And he says, now here's one thing that I'm focused on. This is important. Forgetting the past. Wow. Stop right there. Forgetting the past. You know, your past can be one of the greatest enemies to your spiritual maturity. You keep hanging on to the past while God's trying to pull you on into your future. You keep hanging on to who hurt you, how they hurt you, how bad it felt. You keep hanging on to what you did, what you should not have done. You keep hanging on to all of that stuff. And I told you before, we all have a past, but we shouldn't live there. We need to go forward. Your past, you have something connected to your past that you need to cut off, because no matter how far you go in the future and go forward, it just seems to pull you back and keep pulling you back. And you got to let it go. You got to let it go. When God forgave you and dealt with you and made you the righteousness of God, the only area where your sin still exists is in your memory. You got to let it go. Your past is something that God doesn't even deal with anymore. Why are you back there trying to deal with it? It's done. And what's done is done. You got to go forward. Your past is full of fear. Your past is full of intimidation. Your past is full of condemnation. Your past is full of pain and full of hurt. And you'll find yourself just sitting there meditating on something that's already happened. That's not you anymore. And that's why it's not fair for you to judge somebody from your past experiences with them, because hopefully they're no longer like they used to be. Hopefully they've gone forward and they're a new person. He says, but I forget about the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. He says, that's going to be a part of my maturing. I'm forgetting the past and I'm looking to the things that are ahead. I guarantee you, if you don't have a vision for what's in front of you and you're stuck with some kind of nightmare of what's behind you, you will remain spiritually immature. Paul said, I press on to reach the end of this race, this path that I'm on, this path of maturity, and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us to. He's calling us to this heavenly prize. So Christianity, Christian maturity, requires a radical reordering of your priorities, changing over from pleasing self to pleasing God, and learning how to believe God and what He's done for you. So the key to maturity is consistency and perseverance in doing those things we know will bring us closer to God. I depend on God. I said, I depend on God. Doesn't bother me what people say and how I depend on God. I'm going to walk in love because that's a mature thing to do. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. That's a mature thing to do. I'm not going to hold something against somebody that was in a past situation. That's a mature thing to do. I depend on God. I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ, and I declare my dependence upon Him. I make a declaration of dependence upon Him. It's in Him we move and breathe and have our being, praise God. And some folks don't understand, like you. You know, there's something about by spending time with God every day, His voice brings a calmness and an ease and a peace. Just by getting a scripture, and maybe it's 5 minutes, and you go before God and say, Lord, I depend on You today. I need You today. I submit myself to You today, God. I want You to do through me and whatever You want to do through me, and help me to treat people right.
Because God's not really concerned about your how you profile in that church with your Christian your hat on and how you're stepping in and the scriptures you've memorized and how you can talk perpendicular, hallelujah, and how you can jerk when you feel something, trying to act like you're spiritual. No. God's more concerned about how you treat one another. He's more concerned about how you treat that waitress when you go to lunch. He's more concerned about how you treat that neighbor. He's more concerned about, just speaking to people, just being kind. That's spiritual maturity. It is really immature if you feel like you have to perform every time you come to church. Because somehow you feel like you got to prove to somebody. Actually, it's you seeking validation. You're working hard to be validated. You're really inferior, but you have this false sense of superiority, and you're like, I'm inferior, but I got to do something about that. I can't let everybody know that I'm inferior, and especially men. Men are so inferior, they have spent time with the cover over them so nobody can discover the real you. And what happens is a false identity grows through that cover, and we really never get to know the real you. I depend on God, and I recommend for you to do the same thing. He will make the difference in your life. Amen. He'll make a difference in your life. Look at Galatians chapter 5, 16. Now, this is just our base scripture for what we're going to be talking about for the rest of this series. Galatians 5 and 16 tells us that we're to walk by the Spirit. And now, before we read that, this Greek word used here for walk actually means to walk with a purpose in view. To walk with a purpose in view. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk with a purpose in view. Walk in the Spirit. Jesus said, the word I preach unto you, it is Spirit and it's life. Walk in the Spirit. How do I do that? Walking in the Word of God. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the Word of God. How are you going to walk in the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? How are you going to know the Word of God if you don't, set a time and on purpose and have an intent, be intentional about learning the Word of God so you can walk in that Word? He says, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We spend so much time working to not fulfill the lust of the flesh that we spend no time walking in the Spirit. And if you spend time walking in the Spirit, that itself will take place of walking in the flesh or walking in a mindset that goes against the Word of God. That's what the flesh is. It is a mindset that goes against the Word of God. So walking in the Spirit, if you'll walk in a mindset that lines up with the Word of God, you won't have to worry about not walking in a mindset of going against the Word of God. And most people walk and their mind is set against the Word of God and they go against the Word of God in their life because they're not spending any time setting their mind to the Word of God. See, that scripture by itself has been so made so deep and so spiritual, I got to walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Practically, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I mean, think about that. I remember when they first showed, walk in the Spirit, brother, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Basically what it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't sin. Well, I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, God is a practical God. God wants you to know exactly what it means. To walk in the Spirit is to have a mindset that lines up with the Word of God, and you can line your life up with that. To walk in the flesh is to have a mindset that goes against the Word of God, and then you line up with that. He said, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Word, walk in your understanding of the Word, mature in this Word, and you won't have to worry about doing something that's against the Word because you know the Word. And most of the people who do something against the Word don't know the Word. They don't come to church and sit down and listen to the Word. They come to church to have church. Right. Well, I came to have church. Somebody said, what's having church? Just, circus, playing around a little bit, doing a couple cartwheels, hollering and screaming, and, I had church. Didn't learn nothing now, but, I had church. What the preacher talk about? Well, he talked about, let me see, don't even know what the preacher talking about. You just waste your time. You should stay home and have an extra bowl of Cheerios or something like that. You just waste your time. We come here to be edified. We come here to be built up. That is the purpose. No, I come here to worship God. Okay, I see what you're saying, but if I had the time to get in the Word, I would show you, and I should go with the script. We'll see it in the series. When you worship God, you remember the series on worship? It's out of your heart, and it takes place probably after you've been edified. In other words, worship takes place every day. Worship is going to God and say, all right, God, here I am. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. Worship is saying, all right, God, do with me and through me what you desire. Do with me and through me what you want me to be at work. Do with me and through me how you want me to handle this situation. See, we come to church and sit down and say we're worshiping God. Now, the worship takes place when you're out there amongst everybody else and you say, oh, God, do with me and through me what you want to do. That's worship. Well, what did you come to church for? To be edified, to be built up, to get yourself in a place of maturity so you can be spiritually strong, so the devil can't take advantage of your ignorance and deceive you. And then when you hear something that's not correct, people are going to say what they want to say, but if you're living by the Bible, and what I'm trying to teach is the Bible, if you're living by the Bible, you'll know that's not correct according to the Bible. Now, it might be correct according to the norms and values of the world, but I don't recommend you live in the norms and values of the world. You should live according to what the Word has to say, because when the world fails you, when systems fail you, then the Word of God will not fail you. And instead of you looking at how the world does stuff and then you do it, we should be the church where they should be revolving around us and looking at how we do stuff, and then they do it. But the reason why that can't happen is because the church acts just like the world. So you're picking stuff up from them when they should be picking stuff up from us. Spiritual maturity. And now look what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9 in the NLT. I'm telling you, God alone is our resource. And all the growth of grace comes through Him. Look at this. Verse 3 through 9 in NLT. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
God, did you notice past tense? He has already given us everything that we need. Now, there's something about that says, if He's already given me everything that I need, I'm going to reach out with my faith, and I'm just going to go ahead and receive it. I'm going to take possession of what may not be visibly in view, but if I can find what His Word says and release my faith to take hold of that, He's already given me whatever I need to live a godly life. And so I take hold of that by faith in Jesus' name, and I receive it. Faith takes hold of what Jesus has made available. Faith takes possession of what grace has made available. You should be saying to the devil, devil, don't let me find this in the Word. Once you find it in the Word, you're like, uh-oh, you're in trouble now, because now I'm taking hold of this with my faith. He says, we have received all of this by coming to know Him. Wow. Do you know Him? Do you just know about Him? Do you know Him? Do you have an intimate, personal, daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where you talk to Him and He speaks back to you? Wow. Because if you don't know Him, you're missing the whole point where Christianity is concerned. Christianity is about a relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. Christianity is not about a bunch of rules and regulations and you know, handle this and hold this and do it. Christianity is about a personal relationship with God, and He then begins to lay out the protocols for you.
Why do Christians have to go through adversity? We've all asked this before, but have you ever had an acceptable answer? In the 8-message series, Maturity Through Pressure, Creflo Dollar gives clarity on the why behind the pressure we face. For only $45 for CDs or $55 for DVDs, all 8 messages can be yours today. Just visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to get yours today.
Change Experience 2023 has officially kicked off. Join Creflo Dollar in the city that never sleeps at the New York Change Experience on Friday, April 28th. Make your Psalm 91 confessions in person. Join us for uplifting worship and change your lives with the message of grace. Get ready for a revival like none other. Seating is limited. Register for free now. Text CHANGE 2023 to 51555 or log on to www.creflodollarministries.org.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today. And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages.
I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the mortgage person says. Have faith in God. If you can see the invisible, He can do the impossible.
With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace.
When you think about what could have happened to me, what should have happened to me, and now look at what's available to me, that's enough for me to tear something up right now all by itself. I got to give Him the glory. He saved us.
The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips. No matter where you are, subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.